are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of business and leadership experience to add value to your day. All right. Welcome. We are excited to be back. We took a few weeks off and we're going to hop right into today's topic. We're talking about I wish my parents didn't sacrifice. And this is based on a YouTube and TikTok video that I saw where someone was talking about the fact that their parents, because their parents sacrificed, they ended up feeling like there was extra pressure. They felt like a burden. There were all of these extra pressures put on them because their parents didn't focus on their mental health. They didn't, and I'm putting words into their mouth because those weren't the exact words that they used. The way that I looked at it is the parents really didn't do their own self-care and they wanted the children to be grateful for all that they had sacrificed. But what they had given their kids was their kids normal. Their kids didn't know what they had experienced growing up. And often I see this a lot in practice that parents, they end up giving more to their kids, which is normal. Like that's what every parent wants to do better. But then they want the kids to somehow like be overly grateful about it. And we're gonna talk about it. So.
Wow. You know, over on the way here, I was thinking about it. And the funny thing about it is, in each generation, typically we want ourselves and our children to do better than we do, right? However, the pressure is what we're talking about. The undue pressure that we can sometimes put on other people based on what we think they should accomplish based on our level of involvement, giving, whatever. And I'm going to use me as an example. And I said, I don't know if I want to ask her or not. I said, I wasn't sure how it worked for us. I don't remember doing certain things. I don't remember saying, you need to be great. I don't remember any of that. And I don't think I did that. I mean, Patrice was well taken care of. Well, I'm trying to be nice about it. Patrice was extremely well taken care of. However, and I'm going to talk about because I was divorced, because I have been homeless, I said, this will never happen to me again. I didn't put the pressure on her. I put the pressure on me to make sure that there was no need. I made sure in my head, this was going on in my head, not her, that, you know, anything she wanted, anything she could imagine she got, she was able to get. But I did have limits. She asked me one time for shoes. Do you remember that? You asked me for some
like $100 shoes? Yeah, probably Timberlands.
Yeah, something. She asked me for some $100 shoes. And I was like, I have $35 for whatever kind of shoes it is. If you want a $100 pair of shoes, you need to come up with the difference. Now, some people didn't look because it wasn't a matter of me not being able to afford it. What it was that I had money available for her need. The brand she wanted took the price and jumped above that. It wasn't that I didn't have the money. I just decided no. So go ahead.
So some parents, what they do is they say, because I do this for you, I do that for you, I do this for you, then it's almost like you owe me. Yeah. Like you owe me good grades. You owe me this. You owe me that. And which then makes it to where you're asking your child to do these things for you versus, so I liked getting good grades for myself. I didn't feel pressure. Now, my mom had certain expectations where it was like, hey, if you want to run track, if you want to do these extracurriculars, then your grades have to be at a certain level. But the one thing that we did talk about is that my mom put work and being at a certain financial level, that was at a very high priority. And I told her later that I wish that we had lived maybe slightly like that she didn't work as much and I saw her more, that I didn't really need the extra stuff. And so, because sometimes when we do things, I think you're looking at it from your perspective. And yes. I think it's important to look at it from your child's perspective, because often, because she's looking at me like, I give you this, I give you that. Like, what could you be sad about? What could you be anxious? Like you don't have to worry about anything. And I did have anxiety growing up, and she never directly said that, but we didn't talk about mental health in this yeah. way. And I wish that we had. I think it would have been helpful if I could have kind of come, because I think if I had come to my mom and said, I'm stressed, I have a lot going on, she'd probably be like, I work all day. I work 60, because she was working like 60 hours a week. I work 60 hours a week. What do you have to be stressed about? And so I teach the people that I work with how to validate their child's emotion and still set a boundary. Because sometimes what can happen is we can get in psychology and therapy, we call it enmeshed, where our identities merge and I see my child as an extension of me and not as their own individual person, where then it's like, if you don't become the person I wanted to become, then I failed as a parent. No, I want my child to become the person they want to be, and the person where, because then if they veer from this image in my mind, I'm not extremely devastated and heartbroken and feel like, oh my gosh, like I sacrificed vacations for you. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And so, yeah, that's right.
I like the way she went. And that's why I kind of mentioned the things I mentioned up front, is because we did have the conversation that she would have preferred more time. Now, this is what I did do. I did, when I came in the house and I knew that there was some stuff going on because of what I was doing, and I had some high priority positions, I had a lot of stress. So I would have, if I come in the house and go straight up, don't say, I'm going to feed you, you're going to be okay, but just give me 15 minutes. So I would go up and do my thing, come back. So that was my self-care. And that was part of what this was about. Sometimes we put pressure on our children and people in our lives, but especially our children, to accomplish what maybe we didn't.
Exactly.
So Patrice happens to be a doctor, but I never put that on her. That was something she decided, right? And but there are some people that have looked at their children and said, you're going to be ABC. Now, me and Patrice, when she was younger, we had made this plan. We talked about about us both being CPAs, you know, us starting a business together and all that. But when she came back and said, this is what I want to do, I took my emotion to what I congratulated, excited, right? Then I removed myself and took my little pain, because I was looking forward to it, right? And then I reminded myself, like every parent needs to, is that I did not create you, right? You are an honor and a privilege for me to be a steward and help build and grow a life that that you can be you in.
And I want, because you did birth me. So that's where, but I think what you're saying is, even though you did birth me, that doesn't mean that you now get to control my life.
Yes.
That you now get to control the outcome that I somehow owe you. I need to become the person you want me to be because you birthed. Because it's like, yeah.
And it's not just about I get a chance to control it, that I am responsible for. A lot of parents look at their children and say, it's their fault.
Yes.
Because their child is whatever, or doing whatever, or not doing whatever. They feel like there's something that they should have done or could have done differently. Now, I'm not saying they could have or couldn't have. I'm not saying that. But putting the responsibility on people that have made choices in their life. Even me, I've made some interesting choices in my life. Not all my choices were good. My parents may have looked at me and said, we raised you better than that or different than that. It's not about that. I still get a chance to choose. And when we choose as children, then I think we have to make sure that we don't look at our parents and say, I don't think they're going to like my decision, or they're going to be put pressure on me to do something I don't desire to do.
I think in our society, we value martyrdom. And we expect, especially mothers, to sacrifice their everything. And that is what I want to speak against. I do not have to martyr myself in order to raise a healthy, happy child. Because guess what? I can do that. But if I'm not okay, my kid's not going to be okay. Or if my kid is okay, it's in spite of my it wouldn't be because of. And so that's where, because somebody asked a question where they said, isn't 3 or 4, isn't that too young? Like, aren't you going to traumatize your kids if you do self-care for a week? Like, if you were to go, I'm serious. Like, that was a real question. Wow. And I appreciate that people ask that. And I always want to create an environment where people can genuinely ask a question, and I will answer it. Because it's like, well, if the same situation, I could leave at 12, but if I disappear on my family and just without telling anybody, I just disappear for a week. Yes, no matter the age, that is going to impact my child. That's going to impact my family. And I was thinking about the woman who lied about being kidnapped out in California. Did you hear about that? Yeah. And so like that, a situation it's like different. That, yes. Like if you create a whole scene, but that's different. So, but if I, when my child is 3 years old and I didn't get to do this because of COVID, but I needed it. And this is why I speak about this, because I don't think enough people talk about the fact. So for me, the hardest years of parenting for me were from infancy to about 3. It was a lot. And I would have to do little things to make sure that I was taking care of me. And I really wish that I could have when my child was between 2 and 3. And what I would have done if I took a 5-day trip when my child was 2, my mom, I would have planned it out for my mom to be able to stay. Because let's say it was I was going by myself. My husband was going to stay. My mom would have come up to help out. And my mom is a significant caregiver within my child's life. And so my child, yes, he would miss mom, but he would be well taken care of. And my mom, she would follow the routine. So even my child's 5, and I recently went on a 5-day trip, and there was a visual schedule. There was a calendar of, okay, this is what his day looks like. Here's meals were made. Like, everything was set up to make it smooth and easy. Now things pop up, and I'm grateful. I have a partner that's able to manage those things. I will tell you, so I went on the trip, and my kid, he did not call. I was thinking,
nor did he want to talk to her.
I was thinking, you know, maybe he'll call at night. And but there was a part of me that knew calling and me not being there, that probably would have been too much for him. So I didn't force him, because as a parent, like, because I wanted or needed to talk to him, I left it up. Hey, if he wants to talk, if he talks about calling me, y'all can call, and I'll make, you know, and that'll be good. But I will tell you, he knew I was coming back on a certain day. As the plane landed, which just so happened to coincide with him getting out of school, we ended up talking, and everything was fine. But trauma is caused when a nervous system gets dysregulated. And so just because somebody has to go on vacation, you know, somebody plans, you know, a mom trip, no kid vacation, and their child's 1, that doesn't mean that they're causing their child trauma. They made sure that they had, you know, that everything was taken care of, and they managed it that way.
So, and that's key. So we're talking about several things wrapped up in one. One of them is self-care. Right? Because when I am empty as a parent, male or female, when I am empty as a parent and my child comes to get stuff from me, and when I say that, I'm saying energy, whatever, and they need me to do something, if I have checked out, then I'm not healthy, right? And so I may get upset. There may be a reaction from an emotional perspective that is not healthy. However, when I am full, when I have taken care of myself, whether it be go get mani-pedis, whatever that means to you, then it is important then that you can then come back and you feel better about that. And the other thing I want to attach one more time, just so we kind of stay in the same vein, is it is imperative for me to allow my grandson to be authentically him. Mm-hmm. There is nobody like this little boy. I'm telling you, nobody. So this is what I just did. I came back from a trip. And so I bought some stuff for him, right? But then I put some things in I know he's going to like. Because Gigi went away. And he knew Gigi went away. And so it was like, okay. So I put some things in there I know he's going to like. Then I put some things in there that I purchased while I was gone. But I have already mentally, physically, emotionally, spirit, whatever you need. I've already said, if he don't like it, it's okay. Same thing with her. Part of us being healthy is not putting, even though I purchased some things for Patrice, I gave her the option to accept or hand back.
And I think that goes back to boundaries. And there is a phenomenal book. And I think next week we are going to talk about Set Boundaries, Find Peace. And it's a phenomenal book. And we are going to talk about that next week. But right now, being able to just set those boundaries of where do my emotions end and my child's begin? Because parenting involves sacrifice. It does. And I'm saying, and at the same time, my child isn't responsible for that.
And then
also there are extremes. So now if I, as a parent, were saying I'm putting myself first all the time at the expense of my family, where if I'm like, I don't care how this, I don't know. Like, I think that is different than saying, I'm going to take moments of self-care. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to communicate. We're going to talk about what works best. And we're going to manage it this way versus saying, you know, I'm a do me. However it affects them, you know, like I'm like this is about me. That's because I think that's what some people hear when we say, you know, hey, sometimes you might need to take care of you. I think people automatically go to, well, it's going to be at the expense of my family. And I honestly think there's a way to do it, especially, and I'll be honest, especially if you have support and resources, because if you don't have support, then that is incredibly hard. And then if you have resources, I do think that helps this process.
And part of the thing that I'm just hearing her say, and I just want to reiterate again, is that it's not, there's a difference in sacrifice and being a martyr.
Yes.
There's a huge difference between the two. As a parent, we do sacrifice things. However, some of the pressure that we can put on ourselves is like from advertising and all that. Our child wants a $600 gift for Christmas or whatever. And you're looking at it and saying, well, I need to work. I need to do this. I need to. No. Sometimes you have to say what the reality is, whatever that reality is, right? And in addition to that, I remember with me and her is that I said, okay, you have a choice. I can save up all the gifts and give them to you at Christmas. Yeah. Or I can give you the gifts as I buy them and you get things during the year. And so, but the reason I bring that back up is this. I tried not to allow outside forces create pressure on me in a way that would hurt, harm, or endanger
the family,
because that's an external thing. Back to boundaries, it's an external thing. And so I had to choose some things, but like I said, you know, her room, everything, whatever, she got a lot. However, she didn't get everything.
And somebody said something, and I want to highlight it. They said, y'all are making me a lot less terrified of parenthood. And I am so glad, because I think having these honest, real conversations, because I think if we portray parenthood as roses and sunshine all of the time, then if somebody has a child and they're experiencing anxiety, depression, stress, sleep, like I said, like the hardest years for me were those first three. Like that was really hard. And everybody's different. For some people, the teenage years, and I haven't gotten to those years yet. So maybe like once we get, you know, 10 more years in, the hardest might, but hard doesn't mean bad. And difficult doesn't mean impossible. But what I did is I reached out to my support and then also made certain decisions. So I'll be honest, during COVID, my kid was in daycare most of the time. I'm very grateful our daycare stayed open most of the time. I think as a family, it might have been all of 2020 until now, he might have been home for about 2 months, maybe, but it was incredibly difficult for me to try to work and take care of him, which gave me a lot of empathy for the parents I was working with that were having to do that. But that was big, because it was like, am I doing the right thing? And I think each person has to decide what's the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. Is it hurting anybody? Like, is anybody being harmed in the process? Now, somebody might be uncomfortable. So like when I left for those days, my kid was not, he was not happy. And my husband, what he did, and I intentionally planned it when he would be in school, because that's part of his regular, I think it would have been harder for him if it had been like the entire, if I had left Thursday to Monday, I think that would have been, he would have got through it, but it would have been different, because he's used to spending mommy being available on the weekends. But each person kind of figures out what works best for them and their families. There's a great book that I also want to mention. It's called Trauma Proofing Your Kids by Peter Levine, because you cannot keep your kids from ever experiencing any type of pain, any type of anything. Like kids are going to go through things. How does the community, how do the people around them support them? So when I went out of town, before I left, I gave my kid's teacher a heads up, hey, just in case it comes up, because I didn't want my kid to go to school and say, my mommy left me. Like, and the teacher would have to then like, what? Like, is this child left? Like, no, like he's with his father. He's fine. Safe. He's safe. He's fine. But I was, you know, just in case his teacher saw anything, I just wanted the teacher to know that, hey, we are, you know, my kid is like, I'm going to be out of town and this is going to be the first trip. And so, and nothing happened. Like everything was fine. Everything went smoothly. But if she had reached out, once again, that's his community supporting him and communicating throughout this process.
But by telling him, she prepared him months in advance, saying, you know, this is what's going to happen and da, 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 and let him know and whatever. But this is what I'll say, and I hope this encourages someone. I said, there were times in my life, because I had Patrice, right? Then because I was ill, Patrice had to leave and go live with my parents, right? And then we came back, and at some point we were homeless. But this is one of the funniest pictures. There was three children in the house. They were pushing each other
in boxes,
like cars. Sometimes as a parent, you put a lot of pressure on yourself based on what you don't have. Kids' imagination when they're very young, she had no idea that she, you know, that there was homeless. She didn't realize it. I mean, because we're laying on the floor. But it was like sleeping out. We made it fun. So it's about our thoughts and what we say, because the child is looking for, okay, are you okay? If you're okay, that means this is, you know, whatever's going on is going to be okay. And remember that a lot of things we go through are temporary. And so it was about moving forward. And so with all the things that happen, not a perfect parent, there is no perfect parent. Can we just say that? There are no perfect parents. What we do is, and I commend anybody who is a parent or desires to be a parent, is to do the best you know how to do
and
get support.
And if you need more support, if you need more help, reach out for additional help and support. Because I have read so many parenting books and I teach other people. Like, but my kid is not a book kid. Like my kid, you know, and then also I know I'll get my child his own therapist down the road when he needs it. And that getting my child a therapist, that doesn't mean that I've somehow failed as a parent or that he has this huge, like, it's just like, oh, he's having some difficulties and we need some extra help supporting him. And so this is somebody else that we can add to the team. The same way we check on his physical health once a year, at least. And we check on his dental health twice a year, checking in on his mental health. And then the adults doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because my kid was starting to have some struggles. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get him in therapy. And I was like, oh, girl, it was time for me to go back into therapy. And me going back to therapy actually helped a lot. It helped things settle. There were adjustments and transitions coming up, and me being more settled helped everything else. But often people, they're like, okay, they focus so much on everybody else in spite of them. And that doesn't work, especially.
And that's something that happens a lot with women. She mentioned it earlier. You don't have to do that. And you don't have to be all things to all people.
And it doesn't work.
And it does not work. So pull off the Superwoman cape and put on, I mean, because you matter. You don't have to wear that cape all the time. It is not a requirement. But more than anything, be free. Be free to be more like authentic to who you are. Be free to be more generous in space, to use your imagination more. Stop. It's not about how much you spend. Because Patrice alluded to it earlier, when she was going away to college, she said, the only thing I look back at and I wish we had to spend more time together and that and less, you know, less stuff, more time. So have those conversations and know, I'm going to call it the love language of our children. Because if there's somebody who loves spending time with you, remember that so you're full. So when they come to spend that time with you, you can listen. You can hear them. Because hearing is deeper than just asking questions or just fixing them. They're not asking you to fix them. They're asking you to hear them and see them.
I wanted to highlight this comment because how do you know when to start and stop therapy? And that is going to change based on the individual. I think you know you need to go when life has gotten to be, I need some extra help. So I'm not sleeping well. I'm not eating well. And it's not just like a weekend. It's not just like, but this is lasting over a period of time. I'm feeling more irritable. There are things going on in my life and maybe it's difficult at work. I'm having difficulty at home. I think that's a great time to maybe reach out. And then you know that maybe you don't need therapy anymore when, so I like to have people come down where they, where maybe we're meeting every other week. And then we're meeting once a month. And then if we're meeting once a month and there's nothing, like you're good. And that's good. They're managing life. Things are going well. You just kind of know within, I don't think I really need this right now, which is, and that, and the way that I talk about it with my clients is it's not that the door is closed. I leave the door cracked. Where it's like, okay, we're done for now. And when they need therapy again, they can reach out to me. They can reach out to a different therapist if maybe they need a different type of support at that time. Because sometimes I need to see a marriage therapist. Sometimes I need to address past trauma. Sometimes I need a parent, somebody that specializes in parent and family. And so thank you so much for that question. We are so glad to be back. Like I said, next week, we're going to be talking about boundaries, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.